This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. Hello and welcome also to 2022. This is the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And Anna Knox is still on holiday break, so the mermaid is still off. But with us this week to co-host, voice familiar hopefully to our longtime listeners, the official consigliere of the podcast, Christian Levesque.
Hey, guys. Nice to be on. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. And how you doing this evening?
I am doing good. I'm awaiting this snow forecast, whether I go home or not. I mean, stay at home tomorrow or not. Shoveling snow, so.
Yeah, That's going to be a doozy. Being up north here near Bemore, it's probably going to miss us. But I hear near the DC Virginia border area, it's going to be a doozy. So I hear.
Yeah. Anywhere from 3 to 6, 7, 8 inches. Who knows what's going to happen? So I'm just going to play it by ear and see what the government does tomorrow. I know they're starting to close schools, which is a good idea. So we're just going to play it by ear, I guess, you know, and then shovel some tomorrow.
Well, I saw a joke map that said for the whole area, 1 to 78 inches possible. So.
Yeah. And that's been the norm the last, 5, 6 years, right?
Yeah. It's funny because it's true.
So, right.
Yeah. Lucky for me, I'm mostly, completely a teleworker, at least these past couple of years, thanks or no thanks to COVID. So not going to affect me one way or the other, but yeah, we'll see. Above all, loyal listeners in the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, and of course the District of Columbia, please stay safe. Whatever you do, that's indoors or outdoors, of course. So word of caution to all. Okay. So when we last left you, there was, before I took my impromptu holiday break, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I was just between the holiday and other stuff that was going on. I was just, I couldn't get it to go. So, we figured shut it down for a week. The last game that was played that we could cover was, that horrible game on the 18th. The 19th of December against the Kings. Just going to go over that with a not so fine tooth comb. We all saw what happened. It was a 3-2 loss. Probably the only highlight, at least for me, this game was Connor McMichael's fourth goal, which opened the scoring. And Schultz got him out to a 2-0 lead. And then after that, it was just pretty much downhill. So, yeah, Not a game I remember fondly, at least, or at all, to be honest. It's just one of those telltale games, I think, where COVID started to take its toll on the lineup, I would say. And not to make excuses, but I think that's when everybody started to realize, okay, it might not be a bad idea to give all the teams a rest. Because clearly, both sides clearly weren't at 100%. At least from what I saw anyway. So, all right. So, okay. And of course, all of the games after that up until the 29th against Nashville were postponed and the Olympic break with it. How do you feel about that, by the way, Chris?
About them postponing the Olympic break? I am, postponing the Olympics. I'm happy about it. I thought that was the right call. With the Olympics happening later on in February and the season ending at the very last few days of April, you know, the players are going to be overseas about 3 weeks or so, you know, and so you're adding about 8-9 games extra to them. Lots of wear and tear. Coming back home for the stretch run, you know, you get the playoffs right around the corner. I'm not a big fan of it, but I'm glad that they are staying home. I'm glad with that decision. So we keep those guys here. We can make up the games that were lost due to the COVID and due to the extended holiday break. And I think it's, yeah, great call by the commissioner. I'm really, really happy about it.
Yeah, not that I would say probably one of the few decisions I've ever agreed with, but unfortunately, if you look at it in all ways, all possible ways, it was the only call to make, you know,
right,
to keep the season going and to keep the guys safe. It was literally the only call. And as much as we would like to see a lot of our guys participate in, you know, the grandest sports stage of all, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to be practical. So it's the only call to make. Okay, so let's get to the actual on-ice action that we're familiar with. So, as I mentioned, the first of the three games, counting today's, that were played since we last left you, the 29th, last Wednesday, against Nashville. I did not expect all the chippiness in this game, did not expect this game to play out the way it did. But this was a pretty good game to watch, pretty fun to watch. Caps jump out to a 3-0 lead. And of course, that's probably the worst lead you can have. Eller, Carlson, and Dowd, by the end of the 19th minute of the first period, stake them to a 3-0 lead. And, they showed why later on, why the 3-0 lead is so dreaded in the third period, when the Predators came back and scored three straight of their own. The third being gotten by Philip Forsberg, his 14th. And you'll notice, if you look at the app, you'll notice the last two were tip-ins. All three goals were high danger chances. So I don't know which side of the fence most people are on with Samsonov, but I don't really think you can fault him too much for any of these three goals, given that.
At least no, from not
my,
at all.
My vantage point. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I can't. You can't fault the kid. I think he's done really well this season. You know, he was on I think he's on a roll. I think he is our go-to goalie this year. And I think it's a good problem for us to have when you've got, you know, him and Vanacek playing back there. I can't fault Samsonov at all, you know, with all the injuries and players missing due to COVID, you know, and these guys have been off for a little over a week. A lot of folks, you know, that were struggling because there was no hockey, wanted to see a finely tuned machine out there. But, you know, like I said, this guy's been out for well over a week. You had the worst lead in hockey, and you've got a Nashville team who's pretty good. You know, they've got a 19-11 record at the time. These guys aren't going to go away. And then, you know, when you throw in a Philip Forsberg into the mix, yeah, they're not going to go away that easy. So I kind of expected that to happen. I think I had told my wife earlier in the day, I felt like the Capitals were going to, you know, pull this one out 5-3, and come to find out that was the case right there. But no, I really like to play in Samsonov. I think he's done really well this year. I'm really, really happy with him. And like I said, I think he's going to be our go-to kid going down from, you know, towards the home stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's established himself as the number one, maybe not head and shoulders number one, but the go-to guy who they're probably going to play for longer stretches than, say, Vanacek, who's just coming off the protocol, or whoever is going to end up being in the backup role. That's, in my mind, that's still an open question, because I think you've got two guys in Hershey right now who can also walk into that role without any problem. So,
right.
like you said, it's a pretty good problem to have, especially come trade deadline if you're going to need some more help. And I've made mention of that before. So I don't know if the general manager has that in mind, but if it comes time and that's necessary, then yeah, that's a deal in the making, and not to start any rumors. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You've got Fucali who came in and got his first NHL start with the Washington Capitals, got a shutout. You've got Copley, who's done really well. I feel bad for him. He shuttles back and forth. He's a trooper. He does what he's supposed to do. And then down in South Carolina, we've got a kid by the name of Shepard, who I think is a stud. He's going to be a stud in this league once he gets up into with the Hershey Bears and hopefully makes a name for himself. I like to see him make his way up.
Yeah, I think that's one reason why or a reason why their hand might be forced, even if they don't need any extra help, in that sooner or later you're going to have to move one of these guys up or they're going to, you know, sign with another team. So you might as well get something for them while you can. So I think that may be yet another reason why a deal may be in the making. It's why I keep coming back to that, because it's definitely possible. Get something for these guys while they're still definitely worth something while you can, because you just never know, especially with the lineup being as fluid as it has been this year. So,
yeah, I got to agree.
So, okay. So we're in the third period of the Nashville game and it's 14:24 in, and Kuznetsov scores his 10th with a shorthanded goal of all things. That, you talk about a call that has worked out this year, putting him on the penalty killing unit. That's like buying a lottery ticket and you're thinking you're not going to win and it pays out like 10 grand or something.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. This, everybody was so, you know, busy about, you know, so quick to write him off. You know, we needed to trade him, we need to do this, we need to do that. But kudos to what he has done. He came into training camp with a brand new attitude, a smile on his face every game. Yeah, he did another stint on the COVID protocol list, but he came back. And he hasn't missed a beat. He's on fire. I think he's got if I'm not mistaken, he's got 5 shorthanded goals. I think he's tied for the league lead in that. And he's volunteered to be on the penalty kill team. That's truly amazing to me.
Yeah, no, there's no denying he's returning to the Kuznetsov of old. And I think he's definitely found new life being on the penalty kill. And it's just another example of the time-honored tradition of, if you put a skilled player on the PK, then it's going to pay dividends if you put him in the right circumstances. So, yeah, great for him. He's his official stats for this year, 11 goals, 22 assists, 33 points in 30 games. He's a plus 15. I can't see what he's – oh, shorthanded goals. Well, this one in this game, it's not breaking out really a whole lot. So, oh no, you're right. I think it was counting today, or is it this game? It's okay. So it's actually 2 shorthanded goals and 4 shorthanded points, 4 shorthanded points. So yeah, that's. That's more than good. That's a good return on that investment, I would say, for sure.
Right. And I think with him coming in with that new attitude and with us not having Backstrom for a good chunk of the first part of the season, you know, he really stepped up to the plate. Normally Backstrom is on the PK, but Kuzi, wow, I mean, just phenomenal, his play this year. And I'm really impressed, really happy with the kid. I like feel good stories. I'm a sucker for that. And I'm glad that he is really doing well.
Yeah, as am I. And I have to admit, I wasn't necessarily looking to get rid of him, because honestly, there wasn't a deal out there that made much sense for the return for a talent like that, even as he was looking to be on the downside. So to me, at that point, even at his lowest, getting rid of him didn't really make a whole lot of sense. So I really didn't want to see that happen. I'm really glad they decided to stick with him, and he's renewed his attitude and just found new life with this team and renewed his love of the game, it looks like. So I'm really, really glad to see that, because I think you and I would agree he was one of the keys to the 2018 Cup run. I think you actually said he was the key to the Cup
run.
He was
the key, I think, going down the stretch. And if Ovi hadn't gotten hot, I think he was going to be your Conn Smythe winner,
right,
hands down.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that, as it turned out to be, was the game-winning goal for that game. Carl Hagelin iced it with just over a minute left for the empty netter, his second of the year. Orlov and Carlson on the assist for that one. So that, good comeback game, good overall all game, a lot of chippiness, a lot of feistiness in this game. The one thing I didn't like, and I don't like to waste a whole lot of time on this, yeah, the officiating in this game was, it was a pile of insert animal here dung.
Right.
It was just, I saw calls that I didn't understand what these guys were thinking. I really didn't. Especially the one, was this the one where Alexiev was playing? No, I think I'm thinking of another game. Yeah, no, it was this one. Alexander Alexiev made his debut and he was called for roughing. And
right,
literally all he did was stand in front of the bench.
Right. I don't know what's been going on with the officiating this season, last season, and the season before. It's just been not consistent at all. I think Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles could come out and truthfully do a better job at times. I mean, yeah, how do you get a roughing call just standing in front of the bench like that, you know? But kudos to Hathaway. You know, Hathaway, watching him play that other night against the Preds was to me was phenomenal. It's great to have a guy like that on your team who can go around. Not only is he, you know, a grinder, he reminds me of those guys like Bobby Gould and Locker, by just doing the dirty things, getting the job done. But he's also a pest. He reminds me of one of those gnats during the summertime that just never goes away. He's always in your face at the right time, you know. And I like the fact that he's out there on the ice, and it gives guys, you know, like Tom Wilson a break, because you don't want to see Tom Wilson in the box. And Tom Wilson has become so valuable to this team. You know, he's got so much skill, and I'd much rather have him on the ice with that skill than in the penalty box. And kudos to Hathaway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's been an unsung hero for a good part of his time with the Caps. And when they need a spark, they can always count on him for that. So it's great that he's getting the ice time. And of course that he's on that line that more often than not, you know, delivers what they need. And, you know, we saw that in today's game, which we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, so we'll close out that one, move on to the next game, which was New Year's Eve, evening against the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit. Red Wings jumped out to a 1-0 lead. And honestly, when I was watching this game, I didn't think they would give it up, because, the Caps looked like they were a bit off, in the first period, and just didn't have any jump in their legs. Well, the first period there were no goals, and then Suter's for the Red Wings came out 103 seconds in with the wrister, and I thought they were going to run away with it from there. And I don't know what it is, something about the Red Wings, the way they play, but they just slow the game down really badly, and the Caps speed guys just don't seem to have any jump, don't seem to have any chance against them. And it just, I don't know, whole period and a half just looked really, really bad. I really didn't think the Caps were going to pull it out. Of course, they did in the end. Kuznetsov tied it with just over 4 minutes left, his 11th. And then who should take over the game in the third, late in the third, no less, because we all were thinking, oh no, here's another overtime game. But Ovechkin, the captain, with his two goals, and the first of which, of course, the record breaker, giving him the PPG crown overall. And if you have not seen the video of this shot that scored, please do, because you are in for a treat. Chris, what you remember the old commercial what was that, as pants or pantyhose or something like that? Nothing beats a great pair of legs.
Right.
Alex Ovechkin beat two pairs of legs on the shot.
Right. Five hole goal. And what was truly amazing to me was that it was a second to spare, you know. So going back and forth, the league, the officiating, you know, he had it, he didn't have it, he had it, he didn't have it. And then finally they looked at it and said, yeah, that was in, you know. So amazing what this guy has done, you know. Being an old man, I am just so happy he's on our side, you know. Just the fact that he goes out there every game and every time he touches the puck, you know, it's like another record being broken, you know. So now he's at the top of the list. He is the power play king, you know. So that's just another thing that we can just, you know, tell our grandkids that we got to witness, you know, while he was here in D.C.
Oh, heck yeah. Absolutely. And before I forget, I just want to stop this moment and give kudos to one of our own, and that being Robbie Gross, because he was the one. I don't know if he spotted it himself or he got a report, but like maybe 5 minutes after the game was over, I saw his video recap that he does after the game, and he said in no uncertain terms, there was a 0.2 second differential from the end of the power play till the time the puck crossed the line. He said it. He caught it. So I'm going to give him the kudos that he caught it first. At least I heard him say it first and no other source. So great job, Robbie, for catching that. And I think that's ultimately what the league's offices figured out and let him actually have the credit for the power play goal. So I just want to give credit where credit is due right now, because that's why you know, you and I do this kind of thing, Chris, where we post on Caps Facebook pages and you know, make observations. It's because we see the things that a lot of people don't, and mainstream media just doesn't catch it. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've been a fan of this game since, you know, for 41 years now, and it's just amazing to see things like this, you know, and to see the technology today and how you can stop a game, go back to instant replay. What I'd like to see is have something there in each arena instead of them going back to Toronto or whatever for a call, you know, and I think it would be better that way. But, you know, kudos to the league for doing the in-depth checking in, investigating on that to ensure that the great one gets the record-breaking power play goal.
Absolutely. So the only thing, other than the really slow start, the only thing that really bugged me about this game, and again, it's hard to say if this is a statistic that we should be keeping our eye on, because at the end of the day, it really didn't matter if you look at the final score, but the faceoff percentage, 34.8, easily one of the worst performances at the dot for this year, 34.8 win percentage, just awful, just terrible. Now, of course, at least they got the 1-for-3 on the power play, as opposed to, didn't mention this before, they were 0-for-6 in the game against the Predators. But even so, now that's, maybe that was a contributing factor in the Wings kind of dictating the game, at least for the first 30, 35 minutes, but it's hard to say, because, you know, if you don't, you can win 8 out of 10 faceoffs, but if the two you lose result in a goal for the other team, then, you know, what does it matter? So it's still a confusing stat to me. And I just wish there were a way to kind of quantify that a little bit better into something more meaningful. So it's kind of something I've been harping on. I don't know, maybe someday we'll come up with a stat that means a little bit more as far as that goes. But it is a concern.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. It is. You know, we used to have one of the highest face-off percentages in the league, you know, and now we're near the bottom. And then power play percentage, yeah. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, is the first, what was the game, was that against Nashville? We finally had almost everybody back with Backstrom and Oshie, but then they go out sick again or there's an injury here. I like to think that it's because we didn't have everybody, or we were missing some of our key components. But these are issues we saw last year and in the season prior as well, too, where the power play is struggling. I think that we've become a team where we're just a one-trick pony. And I'm hoping with the face-off percentage, it gets better, and hopefully we will have a break in the schedule where we can get some full-blown practices and they can work on that as well. But obviously having Backstrom out, that hurt us, and he's back now. Dowd is one of our better face-off guys as well, too. So hopefully, and I don't want to harp on the negativity, but hopefully we are going to be able to right the ship soon. Power play, yeah, we were one of the best teams how many years running. And now I think we've become so predictable. Everybody in the entire league has basically caught up to us, and, you know, they're waving goodbye to us. So that's something that does concern me, especially with this new year. You know, hopefully going forward, they can try to fix that.
Yeah. Okay. So I know you, we try to avoid negativity as much as we can, both on the page and the show here, but I'm going to put your consulting skills here on the spot here, Chris. Do you think a change, and it's not necessarily the one you might be thinking of, but do you think a change is some kind of change is warranted here, whether it's the one, the unspoken one that might have been discussed, or something else as far as the power play goes?
Well, I think as long as we are successful in the standings, you know, we're hovering near the top, I don't foresee a change, especially behind the bench. And no, it's not with LaViolette, obviously, but I think now if we were to get a speed bump along the way and the power play continues to struggle, then yeah, I could see a change happening, you know, and especially, you know, come March, April, you know, when you're making that stretch run for playoff seeding, and if nothing is going on, and usually the power play was our bread and butter, I could see a change happening.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it's going to take, although, you know, some are starting to clamor for it very loudly, in fact, but I think it's going to take something of an extended losing streak, and plus the power play failing continuously, to make some sort of change happening. And yeah, if indeed, like you said, there is a speed bump or worse that happens that results in that, then yeah, you're going to see a change. So much as we'd like to, I think status quo is going to be where it's at for the time being, unless, you know, they go, even if they still win, if they go something like 0-29 on the power play you know, for 5 or 6 games or something like that. I don't think it's going to have to get something even worse than what it is now to make that sort of change for the front office to even notice, to force their hand. So, okay. So that thus endeth that game, and 2021, now that that's in the rear view. So we move on to today's game against, New Jersey, back in the friendly confines of Capital One. And it was one of those dreaded afternoon games, and that the Caps just seemed to come off to something of a slow start. And this was, well, really no different. It wasn't that bad, but the Devils jumped out to a 2-0 lead on two quick goals that resulted in superior speed and puck movement, to be honest. I don't know. I wouldn't say the Caps were caught out of position or were just too slow. It's just the Devils were, you know, more apt with the puck, a lot speedier, and, you know, have younger legs overall. And like you said, I think they might have been caught off guard with the fact that Oshie and Backstrom, who were scheduled to play in this game, had to bow out with quote-unquote non-COVID-related illnesses. So that kind of puts a jolt in the lineup. Now Carlson would tie it up before the end of the period. In fact, once again in the magical McNugget minute. I think he ought to start doing commercials for McDonald's. I think that's his second, at least his second or third of those.
Right,
if I'm not mistaken. And so that made it 2-1, and I'm glad to see the app finally corrected. So, because for most of the game, Nico Hischier's goal, 22 seconds in the third, they were calling that a shorthanded goal. And I was like, how is this a shorthanded goal? All five guys were on the ice. So I think the app finally acknowledged they're calling it a tip in, which it was. And I don't even know it was a tip in, because if you look at the replay, Hischier was just trying to push his shadow off of him, guy that was shadowing him, and his stick just happened to be out there and deflected the puck. So, you know, another one, not to be a Samsonov apologist, but not much you can do on that one, because it's one of those quick redirect change things that, you know, just get by you, and, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, for a goalie, it's just hard to defend against deflections like that. You know, you're going in one direction, the puck's going the other, and it's just something hard. I just can't put the blame on the goaltenders on those tip-ins like that. And I know a lot of these teams, they practice those on a daily basis at practice. So, and a lot of teams and a lot of these players have perfected it. It's an art. You know, I watched a game a couple of days ago, I think it was against the Predators, where Ovechkin, it looked like he was taking a slap pass, but it was actually – he was trying to get somebody, it might have been Eller, low to try to deflect it in. But yeah, a lot of these teams are practicing this, and I can't fault the goaltender on that.
No, you really can't. But it from there, it really looked like New Jersey was going to run away with it. It's a 60-minute game for a reason. So the second period would end like that, 3-1 for them, and then much of the third period would pass by. But I got to say, the third period, the Caps came out a lot better, had a lot more jump in their legs, a lot more fire to their game. I think Ovechkin being hit towards taking that hit towards the end of the second period might have had something to do with that.
Right.
A little rallying of the troops there. So next goal would be 13:22 in the third, Nick Dowd with his fifth. And Hathaway and Van Riemsdyk on the assist for that one. So again, that line coming through when needed. And then it was just that you could just see the energy came back, the legs came back, the fire was back, and it was just a matter of time. And lo and behold, we had to rely on a mistake by their goalie. Blackwood collected the puck and for some reason just decided to send it out, and there's Lars Eller all alone collecting it. But instead of deciding to shoot, he took it off to the wing a little bit, and out of the corner of his eye sees Connor Sherry streaking through and dishes it to him, who put it away for his eighth and tying the game.
Yeah. Great heads up play there by Eller, you know, being the Johnny on the spot, so to speak, you know, or the Tiger on the spot, so to speak. It looked like Blackwood was trying to, you know, I think he didn't see Eller, and he thought Eller was probably going to check up, and it looked like Blackwood was going to send the puck up ice, but sure enough, there's Eller right there at the right place in the right time. And Sherry, oh my God, this kid, I don't want to say kid, but he's got some great wheels, and he's pretty fast, and he was right there to bang the puck home, you know. And yeah, you were right, they had some extra pep in their step in that third period, just like the Nashville game, that third period, they were an entirely different team out there. And but it's good that, you know, Dowd came up big. Sherry's game time goal, when I thought, well, you know, this is going to be it right here. But overtime, you know, has been our thorn in our side this season. So, but great heads up play by Eller.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of overtime, well, which it ended up going to, yeah, we're all dreading it, of course. But they actually had a few good looks, I think, this time around, which is why I'm not too disappointed. It wasn't one of those where, predictable skate around with a puck for 2 to 3 minutes and then, you know, backtrack and then give it up in their zone. Oh, game's over. Wasn't really like that this time around. They really had some good looks this time around. I think Eller again had, if I'm not mistaken, had pretty much the best chance. If it's what I'm thinking of, 306 of the overtime period, he was all alone in front of the net. I think he would have had it if he didn't wait too long to shoot.
I think Craig Lachlan had said the puck rolled up at the last.
Yeah. Minute. Yeah. It did. And I think his intent was to try and maybe tuck it around him. But yeah, I think you're right that the puck was just too much of it. I was saying this to my wife when we were watching the game. I really, really, really wish they would decide to resurface the ice after the third period.
Yeah.
I really wish they would, because that ice was starting to get really, really bad.
With it being warm outside, yeah.
With it being right, exactly. With it being warm outside, I mean, guys were over skating pucks, mishandling, fanning on shots. That, you name it. It was just it was really bad. It was Shakespeare's comedy of errors, to be sure. With that ice, and you know, not to knock my own team, but unfortunately, Cap One has been, you know, earned itself a bit of a reputation in having one of the worst playing surfaces in the league. So, you know, this didn't really help.
You got that right.
Yeah.
I'm a strong proponent in that, having the ice resurfaced after the third period, because you give those guys a clean sheet of ice. Why not? You know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to have more skating anyway, you're going to have all that space. You know, let the guys who can skate better, you know, do their thing. And yeah, right. A clean sheet of ice is going to do them some good. So, but anyway, we all saw it. We all know how it ended. Put it away, about a minute after, Lars Eller had his chance and missed, to ice the game. But like we were saying before we got going here, it's a point in the standings that, you know, as late as 4 minutes left in the game, we weren't sure we were going to get. So, you know, glass half full, I think.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there was no guarantee, especially being down 3-1 like that. And we were able to turn it on and able to tie it up late in the third period. But yeah, at least we got a point. We're a point up now on the, I think, on the Carolina Hurricanes right now. So it's we still have a long ways to go. You know, this is a marathon. So there's still a lot of exciting hockey left, and hopefully we can get more of our guys back. We get Oshie and Backstrom healthy. You know, and these guys that we were able to bring up, these rookies from Hershey, have done a world of good. You know, the next man up mentality has really come into play with this team. I'm more than ecstatic. I'm just so excited about this team. You know, the future is bright, because a lot of experts, a lot of us have talked behind the scenes about, you know, hey, what's going to happen to this team once, you know, Ovi is done and Backstrom is done. Well, I think we've got a glimmer, you know, we've got a glimpse into the future. Mm-hmm. You've got Protas, Ferravari. Oh my God. He's playing on the first D line with Carlson, you know,
and doesn't look out of place.
He does not. He looks like a 5-6 year veteran out there. He's got the size. He's going to get bigger. You know, everybody was questioning whether Sammy or VTech was going to be able to shoulder the load. They've done remarkable as well too. Scarbosa has done really well. And then, you know, we've got Connor McMichael, who's been playing, you know, on and off and has looked real good out there. And LaPierre, who scored his very first goal on opening night. So we've got a lot of exciting pieces in Hershey or in junior hockey that can come up at a moment's notice and step in. And we're not missing guys like Oshie or Backstrom or Mantha. You know, we've got these guys that are stepping in and have done a lot of good.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to put you on the spot one last time before we wrap up.
Okay.
Speaking of the young guys, and we've had a lot of them that have shined, had their moment at one point or another. Would you put one above the others? And if you would, who would that be? Who has impressed you the most out of all those guys?
Wow. Farivari. I really, really, really liked his play. From opening night on, he's really stepped up. He's fast. He's got the size. You know, he's really blended in well with guys like Orlov and Carlson, you know. And believe it or not, the other kid I like, Protas, I think he is phenomenal. I think this guy is 6'4", 6'5". He is huge out there, you know. They don't look out of place. It's just remarkable how these guys have come in, like I said before, at a moment's notice and are able to step in, not miss a beat. And you would think that, okay, these guys are new, there's going to be a chemistry issue. No, these guys have blended really well with their line mates, you know. So I'm really like the play of Farivari and Protas.
Oh yeah. Now I would say those two probably top three. I would throw in kind of as a dark horse, Brett Leeson as well. He's a pretty good grinder. Not going to get it on a score sheet every night, but he will give you 5 to 15 solid minutes of hockey every night he's in the lineup. So, now Protas and Farivari, if there was any knock I would have on his game at all, and there's really not, but the only thing I could see him needing to improve is his play with the puck. Like you said, he's got the size, he's got the speed, he can cover the ice. So that is job one for a defenseman. So he's got that down with no problem. He's got that easily. He's played on the top pairing without any problem, but I think he can do more with the puck. A guy who can move like that, if he can improve his puck carrying skills, watch out. Then, you know, there's been rumblings in some of the rooms that he ought to be a rookie of the year caliber or future Norris candidate. I don't know that he's quite there yet, but if he can improve his play with the puck, yeah, watch out. Then you can put him in that upper echelon category. Now,
No doubt.
Protas, he's been what I would call quietly effective. He's not all that flashy. He's not gonna you know, out stick handle or out deke you or out skate you. But he'll do things, all of the little things that keep the offensive, you know, play going, and that's where I think that's. Well, at least this year, that's been his kind of his wheelhouse. Now, what I would like to see him do more of, I would like to see him use his size a bit more. I don't think he's shied away from the play along the boards, but I think he's not quite sure how to use his frame to kind of manipulate and keep the play going along the boards and impose his will. He's not inclined to be a big hitter or even, you know, an intimidating presence. But I think if he learns to use his frame a bit more to box people out more, give himself some more room, a la Tom Wilson, I think he'll be even that much more effective going forward.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think with more experience and him being up with the team, he'll get that with guys like, you know, Hathaway and Dowd and Wilson. You know, him having those guys right there as mentors will definitely will definitely help him out and help his game improve a lot. You know, he has the speed. I mean, he has the size. You know, we just like to be able to see what he can do with his frame. But that comes with time and more experience out there, more game time as well, too, you know.
Yeah, I would say so. That's absolutely. And that's a great place for him to learn. Of course, the coaching staff will be helping him along too. And just want to add another note. Somebody in one of the rooms said Ovechkin's defensive game has been much improved over the course of the last 2 years. I think you can give a lot of credit to assistant coach Scott Arneil for that, because in his day, he was a heck of a defensive forward himself. I think you ought to throw some credit his way as far as that goes. All right.
Game. I mean, he's out there blocking shots.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been a hallmark of his game, along with, among other things, his ability to find the guy, too. Not that he couldn't before.
Right, exactly.
All right. So that was the week that was on the ice for the Caps. Bit of a bumpy road as far as COVID, but they found a way to keep the games going. Much needed break for all. Hopefully everyone will, you know, start to get, like you've mentioned, Chris, a few times, start to get healthier. Not just us, but all teams start to get back into having, you know, fuller lineups. I think the decision to allow everyone to have taxi squads was also a smart idea, because, you know, I don't think anybody saw this coming and catching up with, you know, knocking so many guys out of the lineup. So, you know, had to do something, and this was one of the right calls. So now previews of coming attractions. So the first game of this week we just played, there was a game scheduled for Tuesday. Tuesday was actually supposed to start a northern road trip, as it were. There was a game scheduled Tuesday the 4th against the Montreal Canadiens in La Belle Province of Quebec, which, of course, is in Canada. Well, that has been postponed due to the cross-border restriction. So basically, the league has decided, okay, you know, Canada's protocols being quite a bit more strict. No American teams, until they give the okay, are allowed to cross the border and play. So that will be a game that will be made up later in the year, I'm sure. And towards the end of the week, Friday and Saturday this week, the 7th and the 8th, they play the two teams that just had the Winter Classic. First, the St. Louis Blues on Friday night, 8 o'clock puck drop, and then the Minnesota Wild Saturday night. So it's a back-to-back, also 8 o'clock puck drop. Do you happen to catch that game, Chris?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that game last night. Man, it was cold, too.
Yeah.
So hopefully both teams are thawed out and, you know, nice and warm when we get them. Yeah, it was a great game. I was really impressed with it. You know, nice size crowd there as well, too. I'm always a big fan of the outdoor games. So it was nice. It was good to see two teams that are both firmly implanted in a playoff race, you know, battling out last night in the elements. So it was exciting.
Yeah, I think they brought a little fun back to the game. I think the Winter Classic had gotten a little stale these last few years. So I think they brought a little fun back to it this year. Is really, really glad to see. So. All right.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
And you had two former Capital coaches, assistant coaches, battling it out. You had Craig Berube, who was a fan favorite, the Chief, and you had Dean Evason, who was on Bruce Boudreau's staff at a stint here in Washington a few short years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good to see those guys. Of course, Chief winning himself a cup a couple years ago. So, yeah, good to see those guys making out fairly well. Long time for both in the Caps organization. So, yeah, good eye there. Good eye. All right. So that should wrap it up for this week. Going into next week, as I said, the schedule. I don't want to go too far into previews because we're not quite sure if anything else will be postponed or moved. There's only two more games in the week after that, but we're going to plod on no matter what. We'll definitely keep on broadcasting as long as health and time allow. Thank goodness. So, Chris, want to thank you again for coming on this evening and providing your knowledge and expertise as well. And hopefully we'll hear from you down the line in a future segment this season.
Hey, sounds good. It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Gil.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So for the consigliere, Chris Levesque, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that you can make the number one disappear. How? You just add a G and it's gone. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.